on the Hagman Report on this Black Friday edition. You know, we've got the full Brewer power, the full Brewer package. That was Austin Brewer talking earlier. Must tell you that he is loaded with information. You know, you look at these various forums. Oh, Cal likes it. Supporters for California to secede, take first steps, and yes, California files ballot measure to make CalExit happen, and everyone's cheering, oh boy, and even Forbes gets on the bandwagon saying, you know, CalExit means that American taxpayers won't have to bail out California's ticking pension time bomb. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, what this all means outside of the agenda of the globalist media? It means they're trying to balkanize the United States, and you heard Austin what the backstory is. Don't fall for any of this crap saying, oh good, you know, we don't need that state anyway. Yeah, they're just a bunch of Looney Tunes. Well, that might be accurate, but there's a bigger picture here at play. And that's why we are so fortunate to have young men like Austin Brewer come on and say, look, this is what's happening. And man, I'll tell you something, anyone, he ain't adopted, right? Before we get back to Ted and Ted Brewer, I just want to mention that preparation in all manners means is necessary. Texas Ready. You heard, listen to Bailey last week, earlier this week, talking about Texas Ready seed banks. Texas Ready seed banks are the Cadillac of seed banks. We bring you nothing. Just like HealthMasters.com, I will not take another nutritional supplement brand ever again. I will never do that. I am sold, committed to HealthMasters.com. Well, that's the same way I feel with Texas Ready. They contain regionally appropriate open pollinated heirloom seeds. They take into account geographical differences. They contain seeds that reproduce true to type. They have certified seeds. I mean, on the list goes on and on and on and on. And if you don't know how to garden, like I don't know how to garden necessarily, well, Texas Ready's got several excellent reference books that help you grow plenty of nutritionally dense food. You can start plants from seedlings, save seeds correctly. And we've met the owner. Listen to Bailey. She's called the Seed Lady, and for good reason. She knows her seeds. And how many... what package to purchase and how many people. It's based on a number of people you're going to be providing for and such. Let Texas Ready help you plan for all of your seeds needs. And these seeds come in refurbished U.S. Army ammo can, which have moisture seals. You know, rats can eat through number 10 cans, but bottom line is this, that they have a special just for Hagman listeners. Use a promo code Hagman. Okay. Order your seed banks from Texas Ready, TexasReady.net. That's TexasReady.net, TexasReady.net. Seeds, promo code Hagman, free shipping. It's a $63 value. You can't beat that. TexasReady.net. Back to Ted Brewer. Thank you so much, Ted. You're up.
Hey, Doug. I told you Austin would. He knows that material much better than I do. And so there was absolutely no reason for me to try to cover it because of the California wanting to be exited from the union now. But what we have to understand too, Doug, is if China is going to underwrite this and let them use the yuan as a currency, as a reserve currency, then that means China is going to basically own California. There's already millions of Chinese in California. And what would happen next is China would start putting troops and have bases in California, which would allow easy troop transport across the United States from a fixed land position. So guys, this is not okay. And plus, it takes two-thirds of the states to vote for an exit of a state, unless this state's having some massive civil war campaign going on because of these Mexican gangs that have been armed to the teeth by our government. So guys, that was a major thing that Austin covered a few minutes ago, and it really needed to be out there. He's absolutely right. High capacity magazines were one of the first things they banned in California. Now they're saying you have to have a permit to buy ammo in California, and the population there will be completely defenseless against these gangs that are coming in with fully automatic machine guns. This is a nuts situation, Doug. It really, really is. And we really need to go ahead and just pray that God's going to continue to expose these globalists and that crazy governor out there and make people realize that, hey, look, California is an integral part of the United States, though it is filled with ridiculously liberal people, including the Hollywood elite, which are all satanic, and a bunch of weird stuff with the record industry out there. So, guys, here's the thing. The answer is no on a Cal exit, and only because we can't allow the sovereignty of the United States to be damaged by having another country come in and start running the reserve currency for one of our own ex-states. What do you think, Doug?
Yeah, what Austin said. You know, I mean,
that's right.
The whole thing. He did amazing research, but the planning behind this, and of course, when you look at Fast and Furious, and you look at the predecessor to Fast and Furious, and then of course you look at MS-13. By the way, that report, October 11th, 2012, that report is extremely important about MS-13 gangs. Transnational aspect of the MS-13. Look at what they're doing, and this is not by accident. California, the sanctuary cities. Why do you think, folks, the sanctuary cities are so important to these globalists?
Well,
that's
right.
One of the reasons. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Excellent, man.
Okay. Let's go back to the health stuff.
Yeah, I want to just say this: we are going to isolate that segment and have it as a standalone segment, because that is worthy of that's people need to hear that. So, all right, go ahead.
No, they do. And by the way, if you want to hear Austin every day, he's on the show with me. He's my co-host for the Ted and Austin Brewer Show. We've got a 24-hour feed. We're also available on Global Star immediately following the Hagman broadcast every evening,
right.
5 days a week. We have our show play. Or you can call us on any telephone if you want to use any computer data feed. You just call us at 641-552-5310. 24 hours a day, that's hot. Call the phone number, 641-552-5310, and we give you the news the way we see the news. And it's funny too, Doug, because I promoted you guys really heavily on the show today, and here's what I said. If you're not looking at your relationship with Jesus Christ and world events, and your reading of the Bible and your understanding of Scripture, if you're not integrating a spiritual aspect into the way you look at the New World Order, guys, you are missing the boat. They gave us Darwinism over 100 years ago, and they secularized our school systems, and they told us there was no God, there was no religion, it was just ancient fairy tales that didn't exist. They took God out of our schools. They took God out of our lives for so many people. And so people don't have a true understanding of what a living Savior, Jesus Christ, will do for you. So if you're not listening to alternative talk shows like Hagman or Hodges or me or Sheila that incorporate Christianity into our show as much as we possibly can, then you're missing a big point. If you don't get Genesis chapter 6 in the Old Testament, it's impossible, as far as I'm concerned, to understand the New Testament or the rest of the Old Testament. If you don't understand about these fallen angels, these demons, and these things that go bump in the night that really do exist, that are real. We've been told all that supernatural stuff is just hocus pocus, and it's just funny, and the Bible doesn't really mean what it says about that, to the point where the Roman Catholic Church in 323 took out the book of Enoch out of the Old Testament, which should have never been removed. It's still in the Ethiopian Bible because the Roman Catholic Church didn't have the ability to take it out of the Ethiopian Bible. So guys, please listen to me. It was found intact in the Dead Sea Scrolls. You need to read the book of Enoch. It's really, really important. Let's go back to the nutrition stuff, because on the third hour, we're going to really go into some more of this stuff that I just started talking about. Okay, I've got to talk about what's going on with the flu vaccine right now. We literally have thousands of children now that are paralyzed after receiving the flu vaccine in the United States and around the world. This is unbelievable. Let me read this to you. There have been disturbing reports describing, this is an article by Phillips, there have been disturbing reports describing ill effects of the new flu vaccine in the USA on a scale never seen before. The illness caused by flu vaccines, including thousands of paralyzed children or even deaths by the new flu vaccine, has not been explained. To make matters worse, it coincides with the recent Obama-signed presidential executive order on November the 4th, promoting a policy advancing global health security agenda to achieve a world safe and secure from infectious diseases. The global medical establishment are more demanding than ever in their guidelines to get vaccinated as part of the advancement of the agenda related to this quietly signed executive order. Developed for the 2017 flu season, the flu vaccine comes with a number of new features as documented by the CDC. There's a recommendations list including people suffering from allergies, such as an egg allergy, to get vaccinated, which is ridiculous, Doug, because they grow the cultures in eggs. This recommendation hasn't been made before because the vaccine's adjuvant ingredients contain egg extracts. However, there's perfect rationale for not getting vaccinated because of potential life-threatening egg allergy, which can cause anaphylactic shock, has now been tossed out the window. I know a few years ago, we went to South America, Doug, and the cruise ship wanted us to have a shot for the different diseases down in South America. My wife has a severe allergy to eggs. I have a severe allergy to latex, the latex corks that are put in these shot vials. Our kids carry both our genetic markers for egg allergies and latex allergies. And so we had the medical doctor that we work with locally write us up an excuse explaining this, because they had to have a doctor's note to allow you basically to get on the ship and to go to South America on this cruise thing. Now, guys, listen to me for a second. If you've got an egg allergy, which a lot of people do, you don't need to be taking shots, because you're injecting this protein directly into your blood, which can cause anaphylactic shock. Furthermore, in this list, there's only an injected form of this vaccine and no nasal spray, and higher doses for the elderly with a different adjuvant, making it something to be suspicious about. Is this flu vaccine a vaccine stealth attack on the elderly? Remember, the ruling elite have a planned population reduction, and there have been countless cases where vaccine damage has been covered up, allowing these willing to get vaccinated to be led like lambs to the slaughter. Now, what's interesting is this. Sequirius, owning the new flu vaccines, is controlled by CSL Ltd., the parent company, who just happens to have a director named Dr. Takayata Yamada, a former president to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation Health Division. The Clinton Health Access Initiative has held directorship positions with a number of other big pharma companies. An interesting case of following the money trails, perhaps, is a subject for another article. Now, Dr. Humphreys, probably, Doug, the most well-known person in America against vaccines. She's a medical doctor. And she says in her article, she says, there's a lot of talk in the past couple of years about flaccid paralysis and some viruses going around, maiming and killing children, mainly in the western part of the USA. As always, the finer details are left out, like provocation paralysis, meaning all the things that can be done to the body that can make any virus go deeper. And one of those things is any needle into the muscle at all. The other thing left out of the acute flaccid paralysis conversation is that it used to be called, get ready for this, Doug, it used to be called polio, and thought it was to be caused by a virus called the poliovirus, causing a syndrome named poliomyelitis. The only problem is that the different viruses and toxins can give the same results. Poliomyelitis or flaccid paralysis. In other words, you can get flaccid paralysis, which is what they used to call polio, Doug, from the flu vaccine. Thousands of children have become paralyzed now after taking the flu vaccine. Many people think we've done away with the polio and iron lungs, but we haven't, according to Dr. Humphreys. The iron lung is now a much more efficient and sophisticated machine called the endotracheal ventilator. If you think what is going on today with the EVD68 or any other enumerated numbered endoviruses is new, please know that it's just a history repeating itself, because the people in charge of the so-called public health seem to be completely out to lunch or bought out when it comes to seeing the reality. See, that's what we have to look at, Doug, is what's going on with this. Now, a California doctor, he basically had a witch hunt after him now, because he's given his children vaccine exemptions. His name is Dr. Sears. The board claims that Dr. Sears' decision to allow his 2-year-old patient to forego future vaccinations for safety reasons somehow puts the child's future contacts at risk for preventable and communicable diseases. Furthermore, the board is considering disciplinary action against Dr. Sears, which may include revocation of his medical license after this child had massive reactions after he had his initial vaccines. Now, another article here by Null, this is an excellent article, and it says the toxic science of flu vaccines says basically flu vaccines are perhaps the most ineffective vaccine on the market. According to the CDC, 1/3 of children's influenza vaccines are with live nasal sprays. Although the last year flu mist was only 3% effective, according to the NBC report, the real truth behind this withdrawal is likely more crucial. There is no reason to doubt that the vaccine contributed to more cases of flu infection than it prevented. And this is a fundamental flaw with all live vaccines, and even killed attenuated ones. that they have now been shown to shed and infect people in contact with the vaccinated persons, especially those with compromised immune system. Dr. Noel goes on to say, this is a really interesting article, it's very long, I'm really going to be parts of it. The CDC currently recommends that elderly Americans receive a flu shot, stating that, listen to this, Doug, vaccination is especially important for people over 65 years of age because they are at high risk for complications of the flu. Unfortunately, this warning is grossly unfounded. A scientific body of research proves that receiving the flu shot does not, I repeat, reduce the mortality among seniors. One particularly compelling 2005 study was carried out by the scientists at the Federal Institutes of Health and published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Not only did the study indicate the flu vaccine did not prevent deaths, but that flu death rates increased as a greater percentage of seniors received the shot. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, another known anti-vaccine lady, reviewed the Cochrane database reviews on flu vaccines efficacy, and she says this: there is no evidence that injecting children 6 to 24 months of age with a flu shot was any more effective than a placebo in children over the age of 2. Flu vaccine effectiveness was 33% of the time preventing flu, and children with asthma inactivated flu vaccine did not prevent influenza-related hospitalizations in the database with these children. And he goes on to say, for almost a decade, the CDC has known that influenza cases vaccines are ineffective and life-threatening for the elderly, but continue to market them without hesitation. Hence, in November 2014, five senior citizens at an assisted living facility in Georgia died within a week after the residents were vaccinated with the flu vaccine. During the previous flu year's flu vaccine trials, Pasteur's Flu Zone killed 23 elderly participants during the vaccine trial. 23 died from the vaccine, Doug. Nevertheless, the vaccine was approved and continues to be marketed towards senior citizens. I mean, this is some crazy stuff, Doug. And the nutty part about this is, if you're not listening to shows like this tonight, you're not hearing this information. We're giving you the numbers, the statistics, the studies, the dates, and the number of dead from the flu vaccines, including the thousands of children now that have been diagnosed with this flaccid paralysis, which has also been known as polio in the United States, from, we believe, the flu vaccine. What do you think about this stuff, Doug?
Yeah, I mean, it's no surprise. And just, folks, you have to listen to this because, well, the alternative is death, dismemberment, or death and a paralysis. My goodness.
Well, Doug, the whole thing is this. I mean, here's the thing. Guys, if you don't believe me about the vaccines after you've heard me on my show and heard me on Coast to Coast talking about it, or heard me on Doug's show talking about it, or on a plethora of other radio and TV talk shows that I've been on, okay, I got that. Okay, you don't get it when I talk about it. You don't want to talk about it. You don't believe me. Do your own research, please. Just do your own research. Read the book. It has nothing to do with me. You buy it for a penny online. Confessions of a Medical Heretic by Dr. Robert Mendelsohn. Or you can read his other book, How to Raise a Healthy Children in Spite of Their Pediatrician. And he was a child pediatrician. He was a pediatrician. He was a pediatrician, by trade. Okay? Read those books. And these books were written back in the 80s, 30 years ago. Guys, think about this for a second. By 2025, a researcher at MIT said that 50% of the children in the United States will have autism. By 2035, they're saying that 100% of the boys will have autism. We're talking like 17, 18 years from now, 18 years. And by 2037, that's 20 years, we'll have every single girl born will develop autism. Guys, this isn't okay. There's something doing this. And until we can get an isolated factor on what's causing all of this autism, which I believe is the GMOs, the glyphosate, and the vaccines these kids are getting, that's what I believe is a combination of all of that mess. We really need to eliminate these things out of the possibilities of causing these things. Now, if you're going to get the vaccines for your kids regardless, here's the thing. Don't get them the first year. Now, think through this with me for the minute. A mother who's breastfeeding her child provides all of the immunizations that her baby needs for the first year of life. That's why the kids are so healthy when they don't get immunized. The fact their immune systems aren't even developed enough to do anything with these vaccines, even if they were a clean vaccine, if such a thing exists. So, guys, the first year, just scratch that off. Don't get the hepatitis shot when the child is born. Right. The mom's not an IV drug-using prostitute, I hope. All right? That's why they do that. Don't get any shots the first year. And think about this. If we know these kids are coming down with autism in their first or second or third year after these booster shots, you know, and you want to vaccinate them and send them to school when they're 5 years old, give them the first round of vaccines when they're four or before they go to school, when their immune systems are more able and they're larger from a body mass standpoint to handle it. Or just use selective vaccines. Or if you live in a state that still has a religious exemption like we have in Florida, just get the religious waiver form and give to the school. That's what we did when we had our kids in private school many years ago before we started homeschooling them again.
Yeah, many people will say, Ted, that's so selfish, not vaccinating your kid. That puts my child at risk.
Doug, how does it put their child at risk if their child's been vaccinated? My child's the one that's at risk.
Exactly.
I mean, think about that. I remember when I went to the, after my third child, actually my fourth one with Savannah, we were getting all these religious waiver things. And I went to the health department again for like the third year in a row, right? And getting these forms. And finally the lady looked at the nurse who was talking to me and I'm sitting there twiddling my thumbs. She said, oh, he's been here before. He's not going to listen to anything you say. And she gives me a stack of papers. I guarantee you, Doug, they were 200 pages. And I said to him, I said, please don't give me those papers. I said, I'm just going to throw them in the garbage. I said, I'm going to throw them in the garbage the last 2 years. I'm going to throw them in the garbage as soon as you give them to me. And she goes, well, I have to give them to you by law. And I said, then I'm going to throw them in the garbage can. And you're going to lose all that ink from the copier is going to go in the garbage can. And then she hands me the paperwork. I dropped it in the garbage. And she goes, you put it in the garbage. I said, I told you I was going to put it in the garbage. I'm not going to read it because it's a lie. I said, I don't believe your research because I know it's not true. I'm a research biochemist trained at Florida State University. I do this. I was a state licensed nutritionist for many, many years. I saw thousands and thousands of patients. I said, I know what I saw in my clinical practice. She goes, well, that was anecdotal. I said, it doesn't make any difference. If you have a bunch of kids come in who are normal and they get vaccinated and then within a couple of months they end up with autism, you know, you start wondering what's going on. Even Donald Trump said that in the campaign when he was talking on the platform when he's having the debates with the other candidates. And so I hope Trump will do something about this. All right, let's jump. I know we're almost out of time for this segment again. Sharon will be gone in just a few more minutes. New study. Bad gut bacteria can cause constipation, and it's been linked now to kidney disease. Now, guys, listen to me for a second. Death begins in the colon, according to a very well-known researcher from the 50s and the 60s. His name was V.E. Irons. He actually said that basically every disease can be tracked back to the colon. Constipation is a big problem in the United States. I mean, we're literally plugged up from the East Coast to the West Coast. And so you say, well, how in the world can you have a problem with people who are constipated having kidney disease? Here's what happens. When you have a problem with your intestinal tract and you're not having what's called a proper fecal transit time. In other words, when you use the bathroom and the stuff's not coming out of you within a few hours, within 12 hours, 24 hours, and it's staying in there for 4 or 5 days a week if you don't use the bathroom, which happens, by the way, all the time with people, your colon becomes extremely toxic. It reabsorbs a lot of water from the colon back into through the portal vein back into the liver. That toxifies the entire bloodstream. And then the kidneys have to pick up the pace and try to detoxify the blood. This is one of the factors that increase the risk of kidney disease because of constipation. Then, on top of that, you have problems with body odor. Because now the skin is the largest eliminating organ. It's trying to get rid of the toxins. You have a problem with really bad breath. Because now the lungs are trying to get this poison out of your system. All of these things are pretty much because your body's plugged up or toxic and you need to go through a detox protocol. Very, very important that your bowels move on a regular basis. We've got a great product. It's called Atrialo. It's like an aloe vera plant product, and it works great to keep the stool soft and keep the fecal transit time in its proper place. And what it does, it really helps prevent what's called, this is called, by the way, auto-intoxication. It helps to avoid all that. Your body's not poisoning itself. So guys, kidney disease is also linked to that. Skin problems, acne, all of that is directly linked in many cases, not all cases, in most cases if I've seen, to a problem with the intestinal tract. What do you think, Doug?
Right on. I mean, it's clear. It's true. Seriously. Many people will benefit. It's a difficult comment on the colon thing, given the fact that I've been personal friends with, and my father passed away from colon cancer. So, and when you start looking at this and start looking at what these organs do, particularly the colon, you kind of have to. You better pay attention. That's all.
Well, and you think, remember, I've read multiple articles that when Elvis Presley was autopsied, that his colon weighed like 60 pounds because he was so constipated from all the prescription drugs that he'd been given. That's one of the reasons he had gained much weight.
Yeah. Is that an urban myth, though? I mean,
Doug, I don't know. I didn't see the autopsy report. I guess you could try to order the autopsy report, but I don't know. The whole thing about it is,
I mean, Is it possible?
I've seen so many people
for a human being.
I've seen people get on a cleansing program and clean their intestinal tracts out and lose 10, 15, 20 pounds. I've seen that within a few weeks. I've personally seen that.
Wow.
Now, whether Elvis would have lost 60 pounds, I don't know, Doug. It could be an urban myth. But the reality is this. He was in extremely bad health and he died in his early 40s. And a lot of that was from drug-induced.
But it is possible. I mean, you're talking about carrying around extra poundage.
You can see the colon, the transverse colon will actually start to fold over, and you'll see it hang down. People will sit, and you'll see it lay on their lap because it's so full. I've seen that many, many times in my practice, and I've seen a lot of that go away just by having colonic irrigation done and flushing out the intestinal tract. I've seen a lot of that now, Doug. Now, whether his colon weighs 60 pounds, if it's an urban myth, who in the world knows? I mean, I guess you'd have to pull the full autopsy report up, but I've read that in numerous publications, but they could all be citing the same urban myth. I don't know. But real quick, because we're almost out of time, because I know Cheryl will come on in just a minute. Cholesterol, by the way, and I've told you this a million times, is essential to brain health. Now, here's what I've got the research on it now. In a series of recent experiments on mice and zebrafish, researchers in Sweden found that a molecule called the 24-25-EC is needed for the internal dopamine factory to function. Now, that's kind of a hard thing to remember. It's like a license plate. But remember, if you miss out on the cholesterol and the 24-25-EC thing doesn't work, your body and your brain won't produce dopamine, and it shuts the dopamine production down. That's why low LDL cholesterol, this is the one they tell you that's bad, has been shown to triple the risk of Parkinson's disease in other studies. And the brain damage doesn't end there, Doug. Low cholesterol could also cause depression, memory loss, Alzheimer's disease, and more. Also, cholesterol is critical for healthy arteries, because it helps to lubricate the arteries, strong muscles, and a sex life that you can be proud of, quite frankly, because the statin drugs they give you stiffen up the arteries and they cause erectile dysfunction. So guys, cholesterol is absolutely critical to stay healthy. Now, I think your cholesterol should stay between 2 and 250. It's over 300. You can change it with diet and bring it back down. But you should never take statin drugs, I believe, if your cholesterol is 300 or below. You don't need to do that. There's natural ways you can bring it down to 250 without having to take a bunch of drugs, which are going to cause a whole bunch of problems, including cancer. And some more studies. In fact, another study,
we're up against it, brother. Look, cholesterol, we're going to come back with Sharon Brower. Folks, Hagman and Hagman Report, my goodness, if there's ever a reason not to take statins, there it is. Stay right where you're at. Sharon Brower coming right up.
Recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, I want to welcome all the listeners from all across the world, hearing from every country almost. My goodness, thanks for checking in with us. Up next is Sharon Brower. We're getting all of the full Brower treatment here tonight. How blessed are we to have Sharon Brower with us? Right before we get to Sharon, I just want to mention, folks, if you haven't taken advantage of this already, MinutemanStove.com. Let me repeat that, MinutemanStove.com. They're offering right now a fantastic sale. Place an order for a stove, Minuteman's Rocket Stove, from now until midnight on Monday. So this is a very limited time. Use the promo code Hagman, and you're going to receive a Minuteman Rocket Stove plus a free forever size half-inch 100,000 strike fire striker, a pound bag of Maya sticks, and also free shipping. It's a $63 savings, all for their regular price at $169.95. You only have a few days to take advantage of this. Please do so. This sale will not be repeated. MinutemanStove.com, the Cadillac of rocket stoves. That's MinutemanStove.com. $169.95, regular price of $63 savings with the promo code Hagman. Sharon Brower, welcome to the Hagman Report. I'm going to turn you right loose.
Well, thank you so much, Doug. First of all, I wanted to tell you I really enjoyed your segments on the Alex Jones Show recently. Those were really good. You did a great job, and I just like it when people that we look up to like that, he puts guests on like that. You just hit it out of the ballpark.
Well, thanks, Sharon. I appreciate that. And, you know, it's there's more to come too. So that's sadly
I'm
there's
sure
more to
there
come.
Is. I know. There's so much going on, and you know, Doug, I know women always want to hear about the women's issues and stuff, and we get just bombarded by positive emails every time we're on your show. People saying we want more information for women, and I don't want to be repetitive, but they keep asking me the same questions, and I really feel deep in my heart today. I want to talk to the women and the men specifically about what the globalist agenda is and how to they're trying to destroy the sanctity of marriage. And it's happening all over the globe. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And it's getting to the point now where marriage is just, it's not treated the way it should be treated and the way it has been treated in the past, because of the media, because of the globalists, because of the brainwashing. I had just watched a video that Ted sent me, and they had shown the latest Britney Spears video that she had just done. And oh, Doug, it is so sad to see, especially these young Disney kids that started on the Disney Channel, what they've done to these kids. And they interviewed Britney, and she's trying to indirectly tell people what she's going through, that she's totally just taken over to the dark side. And she just starts crying. She goes, "I'm just really sad." And it's so yeah. True that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you aren't filled with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you don't have that perfect peace and joy that you can rely on in times of tough times and marital problems and children issues and stuff like that. Because God is much bigger than we are. He's up all night. And the most important thing you can do is when you go to bed, say, "God, I'm going to give this to you. When I wake up in the morning, I know you're going to give me a plan. I know you're going to give me a solution. I know you're going to help me to work this thing out, because I'm going to trust in you." And that's why we've really, really, really got to just share Jesus with so many people and help them to have that peace and joy, because I can't imagine life without it. I want to get on the subject of marriage, though. It's getting now, Doug, today, where people have just totally quit trying. They don't make marriage the union that God made it to be in the beginning. You know, the Word of God will tell you what marriage is. And the sad thing is people are just giving up. They don't want to put an effort to it. Now, if you started a new job or a new position, or you were up for a promotion or something, you would work really hard at trying to get a higher position, to get that promotion, or whatever it is. Let's say you're in a sport, and you'd work really hard at getting better and better at that sport. Well, why is it that we don't put that much effort into our marriage? Something that has to do with the rest of our life, something that has to do with the development of our children, the future of our country, the backbone of our country. God did not put together in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. He put it together, God's perfect plan for a man and a woman to unite and to become one and to live forever together. And anything different than that is out of the will of God as far as marriage goes. And the thing is people, they quit trying, they're too tired, they give up, again, back to the frequency, you know, Ted's talked so much about frequency, about our words, our confessions, and I know we've talked about this over and over again, but it's something so simple, but has so much power, because the Bible says even life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I want to share with the audience tonight a lot of things that Ted and I have done that maybe they may sound silly to you, but sometimes some of the simplest things can make the biggest differences in a marriage, in anything, in any subject you want to talk about. We've always believed that you still court, which is an old-fashioned word, or date after marriage. You don't quit dating after you're married. You know, there's a thing that men have, and it's called testosterone. Women, we have a lot of estrogen. We're very emotional. We're not as practical. We are a lot more tender at times. Well, that estrogen is what makes a woman who she is, and the testosterone is what makes a man who he is. And if a man has a good amount of testosterone, number one, he's going to have a very strong sex drive. Number two, he's going to be a man. And number three, he's going to want to be with his wife. And the thing we have to realize is the world, Satan, the media, Hollywood, all of it, it's all entangled together. They're out there destroying marriages one at a time through the media, through Hollywood, through what they're trying to make us think that we're supposed to be like. And the problem is we've quit trying. We've quit dating. When you get married, it's not the end. You don't quit dating. You continue dating. Also, it's real important that you dwell on the good traits of your spouse. Now, this is something that we've learned, and I'm not going to say we're perfect. I'm not going to say that we don't ever have any disagreements, because Ted's very, very type A. I'm type A, but nothing like my husband. And I used to think I've got to win. And now I realize, no. He can win 50% of the time. I can win 50% of the time. He can win 100% of the time. I don't care anymore, because it's not that important. But you've got to always look at the good traits in your spouse. It's so easy to get mad and get down and start just dissing them, whether it's to their face, behind their back, and that's not of God. The Bible says to think on these good things, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are a good report, dwell on these things. And just like anything, we can get into a pity party, a kicking parade, or whatever you want to call it, and Satan comes and jumps on those negative words, those negative confessions, and they just get deeper and deeper, and they fester like a sore. And before you know it, your marriage is on the rocks because of the words you've spoken. Now, you're accountable for your actions, not your spouse's actions. And your spouse is not accountable for your actions. So when you're really not sure what to do, go back to what the Word of God says. For instance, if you're always thinking about, oh, well, I'm so mad he does this, and he doesn't do this, and he doesn't clean up after himself, and he puts the toilet paper on backwards, and he doesn't do the toothpaste right, and he leaves his clothes on the floor, just all these petty things that most married couples, you know, complain about. Don't dwell on those things. Think about, wow, he really has been a good supporter. He really has a good personality. Wow, he's always thinking about what we can do on our date night and how he can take me out tonight. Wow, he's doing this, he's doing that. Or she, you know, she makes me a really good meal. She is such a good mother. She is so good with our children. Wow, she always does this for me. And dwell on those things. I don't care if you can't think of about two or three things, but start dwelling on them. Another real important thing is make sure the first words of your mouth that come out of your mouth in the morning when you see your spouse, when you wake up, that they're positive. And we've really worked on this. It takes effort. It's easy not to do these things. It takes effort to do them. But this is just what we do. In the morning, when Ted gets up in the morning, whether we wake up at the same time or not, when we see each other, the first thing he and I say to each other is, I say it first, or he may say it first, I'll say, good morning, wonderful. And he'll say, good morning, beautiful. Now, I know that sounds corny, but if you start your morning with your spouse like that, the odds of you having a good morning are very, very high. The odds of having a bad morning are very, very low. On the other hand, you wake up and you see your spouse and you say, well, what are you going to do today? Well, why haven't you done this? Well, I asked you to do this the other day. Well, you know, it just griping and being petty with each other. If you start the day out like that, your day is pretty much going to be like that. So set the stage with just a positive greeting. That's all you have to say. Or I love you. Whatever you want to do. And sometimes you may not even feel like it. Ted may not feel like it. I may not feel like it. But don't go by what we feel. Go by what you know in your heart to do, because your mind doesn't know the difference between real and make-believe, and it believes what you tell it. And you start speaking these things pretty much, if you've got a marriage that maybe not be what you want it to be, you'd like to improve it, you'll start noticing that. And your husband may not even comment back to you. But you keep saying that every day, every day, every day, every day, and building him up or building your wife up. Pretty soon, you're going to notice they may start building you up a little bit. You never want to tear. You never want to tear them down. Go ahead, Doug.
No, you know, Sharon. So many people just fall into that rut or that routine, and rut's short for routine, where they don't speak. You know, I mean, it. So thank you for this, and many, just these little tweaks in our relationship, I believe, can improve the quality of our lives. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just want to echo your sentiment. Fantastic. Yes.
Well, you know, when I come on a show, I always just ask God, what do you want me to share with the audience? What do you want me to do to be a blessing? Because I know it's all about political, health, everything. And we're three-dimensional. And marriage is so important today, because the marriage of a husband and a wife is the backbone. Family is the backbone of the country. Ted used to be on the speaking circuit, and one of his good friends was Zig Ziglar. May he rest in peace. But he was an awesome man, and we were so blessed to get to know him very well. And I remember him saying, one of the most important things that you can do for your children is to love your spouse and to show them affection in front of your children. Now, I'm not talking like get a room type affection, but I'm talking about kissing, hugging. For instance, the other night, we have a fireplace out on our back porch, and Ted and I just love to sit on it whenever we have cold weather. And he for some reason at this time of year, he just loves Bing Crosby, the Christmas CD. So we'll listen to that. And we were up by the fireplace, and all of a sudden we just started dancing. And one of our daughters was watching us through the window, and she just was laughing. And I thought, you know, how neat that she's seeing her mom and dad do that. A couple nights later, we were by the fire again, and Ted was sitting in one of the big chairs that he likes to sit in, checking his emails, and I came out, and I kissed him, and I said, wow. So then I kissed him again. Now, I mean, we weren't getting hot and heavy, but I mean, I just kept kissing him, and I just said, you know, I just melt when I kiss you. You know, saying things like that to your spouse, dating them again, falling in love with them every single day, it's just so important, and it really helps solidify the marriage. And if you have children at home, they need to see this. Because my daughter, same one, that night when I was kissing my husband, she said, Mama, saw you out there kissing Dad. I said, well, yeah, we're married. This is what, you know, married couples are supposed to do if you have a good marriage. And she said, but Mom, you were really kissing him. And I said, well, yeah, because we're really in love. I said, Alexis, if you don't see how to treat your husband or your husband to treat your wife, if we don't show you that, how are you going to know? And I said, the most important thing we can do is to let you see how much we love each other. And she loved it. She thought it was funny, but she loved it. So think about that for your children also. Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah. Just the longer we're married to one another, the longer that we are in a relationship, we tend to take the other party for granted. And,
oh,
you know, if you can always have that spark, that dating mentality, I really believe that will make a huge difference in your life. And quality time with your spouse. Go ahead.
Well, and we have to pass this on to our children so they can pass it on to their children, so at least we have some strong Christian marriages when we're gone on this earth. You know, that's so important.
Sure,
but no,
yeah.
It's so true, Doug, that you've got to do that. I mean, Satan is pulling so hard, and the world is pulling so hard, that we've got to make a strong effort towards this. Another thing is, you need to dress for your spouse. Well, what do you mean? I'm going to wear what I want to wear. Well, I agree. I got comfortable clothes I like. Ted, oh my goodness, he got some pajamas on an airplane one time because we upgraded, and he he loves to wear them and working out in the gym and everything. I said, Ted, come on, wear something nice, you know, every now and then. But he doesn't really, you know, he likes comfort. Whereas me, I like to look nice for him. And one of the neatest things that makes me feel good is we'll go out on date night and I'm all dressed up and his eyes actually pop out of his head. And I thought, wow, I still got that look to make him look at me like that. And that's what you want, because we're going to get older and there's always going to be younger people out there. And, you know, it's not just looking and saying, oh, that's a pretty man, that's a handsome man, or that's a pretty lady or something. Nothing's wrong with that. But when you go and you look and you look and you look and then you start lusting, that's when it's sin. But you're always going to have good looking people out there. Look the best you can for your spouse. I know we can't 100% of the time. And I even try, because Ted and I work out 6 days a week and we have a gym here at the house that we work out in. And I try to put makeup on. And sure, I may sweat some of it off or something, but I'm in the gym with him trying to look my best, and I'll turn around and he'll just be staring at me. And I'm thinking, you know, after 32 years of marriage, that's a real big compliment, Doug.
it is. And people might think that, if people think that's shallow, it's not, because it builds your self-esteem. It builds the relationship up as well. Anything that we can do to counter the attack on the sanctity of marriage, anything that we can do that makes your self-esteem, our self-esteem, rise, and you know, the attractiveness to continue. Yeah, boy, don't get me started on the appearance of some people. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, you know, it's like letting yourself go. You work so hard when you get married, you know, and you're working on your weight, and you're working on your hair, and you're working on all this, and then you get married, and oh well, I've got them now. And I'm talking about men and women both. I'll just, you know, and they don't intentionally do it. Gain 5 pounds here, 5 pounds there. After about 15, 20 years, they're 40, 50 pounds, 60 pounds heavier, 70 pounds heavier. I don't know what happened. Well, your spouse has still got to look at you. And it works both ways, husbands and wives. I'm not just speaking to the husbands or wives. But, you know, think about your spouse. What did you look like, and what drew them to you when you got married? What drew you to your spouse when you got married? And think about that. And if you both work on it together, I realize we get older and I realize there's gravity and I realize, you know, our metabolism slows down. I understand all that. If anybody does, I understand that. But it's important to do the best you can, to look the best you can. And it makes a big difference. Another thing is, remember I said to dwell on the positive things. We had a speaker one time that we were friends with on the speaking circuit, and they were saying how their spouse one time, when she went through menopause, how she just started getting where, oh, she complained about everything he did and everything he said, and it got worse and worse and worse, so they almost got divorced. Well, no, we hear this all the time, because during menopause, of course, our hormones are changing. And I've always talked about our menopause support program that we have with Health Masters, because I really believe in it, and we've helped a lot of marriages, because when your hormones change, it's almost like being depressed, if you want to compare it to something. And if you go to a doctor, they're going to put you on Prozac or Zoloft or one of the antidepressant medications. But we have found that the cod liver oil, the 5-HTP and the B vitamins, just those by themselves, make a humongous difference in the hormones, your attitude, your mood swings. And most men, because of the testosterone, they're pretty even keel. You know, they're really not up and down that much because they're not full of emotions. Women, one day we're up, one day we're down. You know, is Ted getting Sharon number one or Sharon number two, he used to ask me. So that can be very, very strain, much of a strain on a marriage. So if you can avoid that and take the supplements that your body needs and the nutrients your body needs to avoid the problems you have in menopause, you can fly through it. Sure, you may have your days, but most of the time it doesn't have to be a divorce or a life-threatening situation that we hear about all the time. Because Doug, I mean, I don't know, I guess it's because of what we do for a living, but I mean, when Ted used to do the have the clinic, I mean, we tell people we're not marital counselors, but we can help you with your hormones. And they'd come back and say, oh, you can't believe she's, and it's usually the women because of the estrogen. You can't believe how she's changed. Our marriage is wonderful again. And, you know, it makes the women feel good too, because it's horrible going through that. I went through that, and oh my goodness, talk about putting a strain on a marriage and your kids. It's just hard for everybody. But think about it. God ordained a marriage between a husband and a wife. That's his best for us. And let's not throw in the towel and give up and take the easy way out. Let's roll up our sleeves, just like we are as patriots, just like we are fighting for this country. You fight for your marriage. You stay strong. You stay firm. You stay in the Word. You stay in prayer. It's so important that you pray on a regular, daily basis with your spouse. If you have your kids around, that's even better. But you've got to pray with your spouse, because if God isn't the center of your marriage, there's going to be a lot of rocky roads.
Wow.
I'm telling you, Doug.
Well said. You know, and we have to realize it's the... I guess that we should realize, when we look at what is happening all around us, that the traditional marriage, and I don't even like to say that, marriage is between a man and a wife, that's under attack. And we have to understand the sinister nature of the attack. And of course, with that comes everything you said. You know, we have to continue to be loving spouses, just as if we were dating, you know, courting your spouse. I mean, we can't lose that. And that strengthens our relationship. It sets the example for our children. I think you said it all. I think that's really a great formula for a healthy relationship and a Christian family. Pray together, too. How important is that? I mean, it's really important. So, wow, that's all. And all of this connects together. I mean, we have to be strong physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So
That's true. Exactly. Well, right. You know, it's also important when you pray together, it builds that intimacy also. You know,
yes,
it's just part of the circle that completes it. But, you know, that's why I was so excited. You know, people say, well, Trump's on his third marriage and all this stuff. I don't care. All I know is I see a happy man and wife with incredible children, a big family unit. He represents family in the White House. And I like that, because...
Yeah.
We know too much stuff, you know, that's going on, that's happened in the past with some of the past presidents and everything. There weren't marriages. They were partnerships. They were roommates. As soon as the cameras hit them, they grabbed hands and they were holding hands and, you know, really showing it off. And as soon as the cameras are gone, they drop hands. I mean, it was just a big fake show. And I really believe we've got a good, sincere marriage in the White House, because that's important. That's important for the president. That's important for the Congress, the Senate. It's important for everybody. Family is so important. And that's why I really wanted to share tonight and just speak my heart on the family and on marriage, because guys, once that's gone, there's nothing. And we've got to get through to these upcoming generations. We've got to show them what a good marriage is. Because they're not going to have anything left at the rate we're going.
Sharon, thank you so very much. Thank you for your time and for all of your words. Very, very much appreciate it. God bless you, and thanks for doing what you do.
My pleasure. And Ted will be back, I think, on the next segment.
That's right. All right.
Thank you, Doug.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Folks, that was Sharon Brower, Ted's wife. My goodness, it's such great advice. And it's always good to keep our marriages healthy. I know one thing, I could not do what I do without my wife, and I certainly appreciate her, you know, her support and the support we give each other. Ted's coming up the next segment, folks. Before we bring Ted on, I just want to remind you, if you haven't gone to greenovative.com, greenovative.com, between now and Christmas, 15% off of all purchases through Christmas. Greenovative.com. They are the masters behind the GMAG. Wow, is this ever great? This GMAG device that charges battery. It's a GMAG power cell. 8 ounces, makes power by simply adding salt and water to the unit. GMAG is EMP safe, has an indefinite shelf life, can charge an unlimited number of batteries, and is made right here in the United States of America. Whether man-made or natural disasters strike, you need power, you just add water. visit greenevative.com. That's greenevative.com. It's a must-have when you need, you need batteries, rechargeable batteries, throwaway batteries. Not good. Greenevative.com.